Turn to Matthew chapter 7. We've been looking at like Jesus, doing like Him. I think if we do like Him, we'll be all right. I mean, we'll be doing the right thing. If we mimic Him, follow Him, if we do as He has done, we know for sure we'll do the right thing. I have looked at praying like Jesus and living like Jesus and loving like Jesus. I want to look tonight at one more. I want to talk about speaking like Jesus, talking like Jesus. Verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, He has been talking, that the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. As He ended these sayings, you have a red letter edition Bible, you can go back to chapter 5 about verse 3, and it starts the red letters there, and it doesn't end them until chapter 7, verse 27. If you will, two full chapters of Jesus speaking words, saying things. And when He ended these sayings, they went, wow, my. They had not heard anyone speak like Him. He told the truth to begin with, but He did it in a way to where they heard Him. They listened to Him. In fact, it says there that He had such an authority that even the scribes had no comparison. He taught them is what it says there, for He taught them. In other words, they were listening, they were getting it, they were understanding it, they were at least understanding what He said. Boy, what a communicator He was. That's what a communicator is, someone who is able to not just speak out the information, but to say it in a way to where people can understand it. I have in my mind many times the content of what I need to say. And in my mind, I understand it, but getting it into words that someone can understand, boy, that's where the battle is many times. Jesus, of course, being God, had that ability. He used the words as tools for the glory of His Father. He said what He said in order to accomplish the Father's will, not just in His life, but in the lives of others. This Sermon on the Mount that He has just finished was a message of words communicated to people, speaking the truth where they would get it and hopefully applied. There was a reason to His words He tried to accomplish the Father's will, using them as tools, His words, and not as weapons. We can use words as weapons to wound and to hurt and to harm. We can use weapons as hooks to convince someone to do things our way or to persuade, to get what we want, to be selfish, to attack others. We can use words to get back or to get revenge or to manipulate. Jesus didn't do those things. If we're going to talk like He talked, we got to talk like He talked. Now, the devil uses words to seduce, to entice. Look at there, boy. Look at that. Wouldn't you like to have that? Look at her, boy, isn't she pretty? Look at that. Wouldn't you love to have that? If you could do this, you'd be happy. He uses words to entice and seduce, to deceive, to scare, to make us worry. Jesus, in His speaking, was spiritual. And His words were spiritual because He was spiritual. Could I be that? That be my first point? Jesus was spiritual. And since He was spiritual, since He could use this word, He was right with the Father. Him being God, He would be right with the Father. But He was a spiritual person. Therefore, His words were right. His words were right because He was right. And that's where we need to focus first. What I'm talking about tonight is not just making sure we say the right thing in the right way, in the right manner, to the right person at the right time. And we're talking first about making sure our hearts are right. And if our hearts are right, if we have a spiritual heart, a spiritual desire, and a spiritual earnestness, our words will come easy. Our right words will come easy. Jesus was a spiritual person. He didn't just say the right thing. He was right. And his words revealed who he was. Did you hear what I said? His words revealed who he was. And so do ours. In fact, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance, listen, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, if you're good inside, good will come outside. But if you have an evil heart, you have evil words. So we need to realize first that the heart is important. We need to be right. I'll say it again. If we are right, our words will be right. If we love, our words will be right. If we're selfish, our words will show it. If we're jealous, our words will show it. If we're greedy, our words will show it. So we need to make sure that we deal with our heart issue first. David said it like this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. He said, I want my heart right and my words right. I want to please you. That's a good prayer, good desire, good request. Jesus, since he was spiritual, used his words to instruct. You can look through the Sermon on the Mount or anything Jesus said. And a lot of what he's trying to do is inform people, instruct people, teach them something they don't know or have forgotten. It's a good, words are a tool that we can use to the glory of God. And he used words to instruct. He used words to encourage, to lift up, to pull up the downtrodden, to encourage the discouraged. And he did that because his heart was right. He was spiritual, and therefore his words were right. He used words to encourage and to instruct and also to warn. You look through the Sermon on the Mount, he's warning some people. Trouble's on the way. Don't go down that path. You're heading to trouble. Don't do it. You'll regret it. He let the Father use him as a tool to warn people. And none of this was done through an arrogant nature. He, even though he was God, did not look down on those poor little miserable people and say, now, I know you should have known this a long time ago, and I wish you knew what I knew. But no, he did it in humility. He did it from a heart that was spiritual. He never tried to hurt, even though sometimes his words did hurt. And wasn't his intention. It hurt them because they didn't want to accept the truth. Or sometimes the truth does hurt. But he still, from a heart of love, spoke the truth. But he never wanted to hurt them. Words can hurt terribly. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. He says there's some words that can cut you deeply, cut you to the heart. Jesus never spoke to hurt. He never spoke to harm. He didn't want to harm anybody. He wanted to help people, not harm them. Proverbs 15:1 said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Sometimes we can say things that makes matters worse. Jesus never had that intention. He never spoke to hurt or to harm or to hinder. He didn't want to say anything that would keep people from doing the Father's will or would hinder them from getting to God. He was very careful in what he said. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, that the hearer might get some help." The words there mean benefit. He says, make sure you say words that will build people up and be a benefit to them and not a hindrance. I said first, Jesus was spiritual. And since he was spiritual on the inside, his words were right. How about your heart? How about your life? How about your desire? How about your goal, your desire, your intention? He was spiritual, but I mentioned number two, Jesus not only was spiritual, but he was silent. There's times he didn't say anything. And there's times he was quiet. John 8:6, he said, tempting him that they might have a way to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. They were accusing him, attacking him, and he didn't say a word, and he turned around and started writing on the ground, and we don't know what he wrote, but he didn't say a word. He, at that moment, was quiet. Now, he did speak after that. But there are times, here it is, we just ought to be quiet. We ought to not say a thing, I promise you. Listen, the best advice I ever got about this church came from a man who said nothing. Me and my father-in-law years ago at the old building, I hadn't been at this church long. You think I'm dumb now? Boy, I was dumb then. And we were just discussing things. We're just talking about things. And I said something. And Norris didn't say a word. And I thought, whoa. And I got to thinking, and God got to talking to me. And Norris helped me more by not saying anything than he ever could have had he explained what he was probably really thinking about this dumb preacher. And sometimes silence is the right thing. We don't always have to say something to be a help. We don't always have to talk. Jesus did some of his best work by not saying a word. He refused to let circumstances control his speech. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. On the cross, arrested wrongly, but he kept quiet. Sometimes we can do more by not speaking than by speaking. He refused to let circumstances control him. He refused to let people control him. Matthew 15:23 says, but he answered her not a word. Matthew 26:63, but Jesus held his peace. And as the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And he didn't say a word. Hear me. He did not let the circumstances control his speech. And he did not let people and what they were doing or what they were saying control his speech. There were times he was silent, even when he was wronged, terribly wronged. But he never fought back, and he never stood up for himself, if you will. He was silent. There are times we need to be silent. Even in the times of his godly anger, we have no indication that he spoke out. When he's cleansing the temple, he told them, why you've made my father's house a den of thieves. But as far as we can tell, he didn't go through there swinging the whip, hollering out of control. In fact, we know he didn't. As far as we know, he did it silently, but he sure did do the task. There are times we need to be silent. He was spiritual. And since he was spiritual inside, what came outside was spiritual. We got to start there. He was silent. Times he knew when to say something, and times he knew he shouldn't say anything. And then lastly, he was sensitive. Hear what it says. It came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He taught them. He read the listeners. He was in touch with who he was trying to communicate. He didn't just spit out the words, whoever and whatever. He was sensitive. He didn't speak the same way to all people. You cannot communicate the same way to everybody. We have 4 children. Honestly, I believe they're all adopted because they're so different. Now, believe me, they're not. I know that for sure. So don't get worried back there on the back pew. You're not adopted. You probably wish you were, but you ain't. You're a shoemaker through and through. I'm sorry, too, but you are. But 4 children seem like they're from different parts of the world as far as their nature and their temperaments and how we ought to deal with them. And the grandchildren aren't any better. You got to beat the tar out of Connor to get him to do anything he wants to do. And you sort of look at Olivia halfway cross-eyed and she's crying. Hey. He knew how to communicate. He was sensitive to who he was speaking to, and he knew what to say and when to say it and how to say it. There were times he was abrupt. Those old Pharisees, hypocrites. He didn't say, "Now, you fellas, I know you had a rough life, but let's try and do better. You want to?" No. He was abrupt to them. He said, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He called them a bunch of snakes, too. That was God. That was Jesus. Now, you got to be careful on this one. But there are times our words do need to be abrupt. A lot of us, we get right to abrupt and bypass tender and compassionate. But Jesus knew, here's these unrepentant sinners who think they're better than everybody else. They needed to know the truth abruptly. And they got mad. They didn't receive it. And he knew they wouldn't, but that's still what they needed to hear. We don't cater to people. We don't pamper people. Unless they need pampering, at times they do. Preachers always do, by the way. But he spoke because he was sensitive. He spoke abruptly. There were times he spoke tenderly. John 8:11, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He said that to a woman who had sinned terribly. They caught her in the act. She was guilty. But undoubtedly through the text there, it indicates she was repentant and she was sorry. And she was humiliated. So she didn't need to be beaten down further. He said, "I want to tell you something. You're forgiven. Everything's going to be all right." He spoke tenderly to somebody who was guilty. But he read her. He knew her. He knew her condition. Now, it's not always so easy for us to read people. But we better learn how to try better. And know better how to speak if we want to speak like Jesus spoke. He spoke tenderly. He said to his disciples, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." He says, "Now, fellas, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's a liar, and he's got his people. If you listen to them, they're going to hurt you." He said that tenderly. There were times he spoke pleasantly. John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace." He says, "Just want to let you know everything's going to be all right. My peace give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled." He offered peace and comfort through his words. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." good words can be sweeter than honey. There have been times around here, sometimes just somebody just say something. Boy, I needed it. There's times somebody said something I didn't really want to hear and I needed it. But it helped. It helped. It assisted. And how we communicate is so, so, so important. We should use words to communicate to help people. Jesus was sensitive to his listeners. And speaking is communicating to listeners. And that's why I say to you who sing, sing out. If we can't hear you, you are wasting your time and ours to sing. And if you get up here and teach, speak up. There are some deaf people in the audience. And there's some, you could say the best thing in the world. If people don't hear you, you're wasting your time and theirs. You are, he says he taught the people. What was in his heart came out with words in a way to where they could communicate and get it. So that's what communication is. Speak out. Some of you saved some real good things around here, and I don't know anything about it. And it's not just my heart of hearing. I think this morning, one of the times I got up, and I thought, if I say, I'm sorry I can't hear you, that ought to be a clue. Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but it's still true. There's a spiritual significance to this as far as me and our other hard of hearing brethren and sisters in the Lord. But if I say, I'm sorry, that means talk louder the next time. Here's what some will do. What? Now, I'll be polite and I'll say, I'm sorry I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, what? And then I'm getting embarrassed. Listen, if it's the second time and I say I'm sorry, it ain't all my fault. Now it's your fault too. Start hollering. And I'm joking, but I'm not joking. Because words are communicating. And if they ain't hearing you, if they ain't getting it, you're wasting your time. You're not communicating. You're not talking like Jesus talked. You're not speaking like he did. That includes us who need hearing aids. But more important, our message is there's something God wants you to say. Something someone needs to hear. We can't just blurt out. Some may say, well, I'm just the way I am. I just say it, like it or not. Well, you're wrong. Pure and simple, you're wrong. Because it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. I can get up here mean as a snake, but if I do it in love and weeping along, you'll accept it better. Communicating like Jesus, one thing they knew, he loves us. And what he's saying is the truth. I may not like it. I may not even accept it, but it's the truth. He taught them that he spoke words. He was sensitive to his listeners. He knew what they needed to hear, and he knew how to communicate to them, that person that he was speaking to that was listening. Sometimes you do need to be abrupt and sometimes tender and calm and collected, and only the Lord can help you do that, and me too, and help me too. Sometimes some people say, well, I just say it however I want to, just however it comes out. They can like it or lump it, they probably going to lump it. And you're not going to help them. You're going to hurt them. Some say, I'm so timid, I just can't speak out. Well, you're wrong too. Because God's given you a mouth for a reason. And he's given you thoughts for a reason. And somebody needs your help. Your words, just a few words, may be that keeps somebody from quitting. Maybe that one thing that helps somebody to make the right decision, and you don't even understand the significance of what you say. If we're going to talk like Jesus, we need to be sensitive to those who we're speaking to and know how to communicate to them where they'll get the truth, but they'll hear it in a way where they'll receive it. That's what Jesus did. He had that ability, being God, and we need that ability that God can give us. He did it in a way where if they were turned off or rejected it, it wasn't because of his attitude. It was because of the truth he spoke. And that ought to always be the truth of the facts about us communicating. Why did God give you a mouth? Why did God invent words to help us communicate to people? I mean, what else? And we need to use this gift called tongue, gift called vocabulary and intellect in a way that would please God. Use words as tools to encourage. There's some people here. I just like getting around you. You don't even hardly have to say much. It just encourages me. And there's nobody here. Honestly, there isn't. But I do know some people, when I see them, I try and hide because what they say is always discouraging. There's nobody here that does that. Thank the Lord. Not long ago, I read a little book. The Lord reminded me of the importance of trying to be an encouragement to people. I'm not so much. It's not my natural nature. I have to trust the Lord for that. But I want to do better. And Jesus was a person who spoke the truth. And he did it in a way to help people. Why again did God give you a tongue, the ability to communicate? Why can you talk? Remember, there is a reason. And I want to ask you, are you letting your tongue be used for the purpose God gave it to you for? I'm talking about talking like Jesus. I'm talking about speaking like him. I know this. I find no fault in anything he said or didn't say. But I can't say that about myself. But I want to not only do better, I want to do good. I want to talk like he talked. What a wonderful miracle of words. Some of you really do encourage me. All of you do sometimes. But some of you really do sometimes when you just say a few words and you don't even realize it. And somebody else needs your help, your encouragement to communicate with them. You need to, how's it going to work to where they'll listen and not be turned off or reject? If they reject it, let it be the truth that's spoken and not how I've spoken it.